in hard time Mississippi, surrounded by for what that ain't so pretty. His parents give.
Welcome everybody, welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My thanks to Greg Gunderson, my colleague at a WRCE in Park Falls. We are kicking off this episode of the Maggie Dawn Show with a little bit of what's going on in your neck of the woods, reliving some of our, you know, maybe sillier high school moments. We had a couple callers that wanted to get on that. Gray had teed up a story of a chicken nugget eating contest between the good folks of the Spooner and Hayward High Schools. Ollie, you're first up from the Northwoods, then we're going to get to my very special next guest. Ollie, go ahead, my friend.
Well, I can say that the Spooner and Hayward rivalry tagging of the bridge on Highway 63 has been going on as long as I can remember. Even unbeknownst to me, one of my teenage daughters had participated in this affair. And I give Spooner a lot of credit because they had to travel up there. So whereas the Hayward folks had the eaters right there. So no doubt they won.
They weren't taxed by their long travels to conduct said nugget eating contest. Thanks so much, Ollie. Those high school rivalries always are many decades in the making. Seems true as well for Spooner and Hayward. We got Brian in Milwaukee wants to share a high school story. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, one of the cool things we did, I grew up in Kenosha and went to Social Central, which is west of the interstate. Being farm country out there, one thing we've been doing for about 25, maybe 30 years, probably even longer, is during homecoming, they will actually close down Highway 50 and have a tractor parade. And all the farm kids will ride in on their John Deere tractors and Case tractors and all, and they'll park them all out in front of school in the parking lot.
Love it.
I think that's probably one of the coolest things, you know, that we do, and they've still been doing it to this day.
Yeah, I love a good tradition, especially a good tradition in high school past from one class to the next and from one generation of students to the next. Always good fun. I will share this last little story. We used to have a little bit of a senior skip day and a little bit of freshman hazing day. I'm sure you did too, back when I was at Rufus King here in Milwaukee. I escaped some of the freshman hazing. I think they just assumed I was older because I waltzed in at 6 foot tall. Didn't maybe look so much like a freshman. Thanks so much, everybody, for having some fun with Gray and I this afternoon. I want to bring up my very special next guest here to the Maggie Dawn Show. He joins me every Tuesday at 2:30. His name is Jeremy Janae. He is the creator and one of the journalists for Urban Milwaukee. I bring him on not just because it's very important to talk about what's going on in Milwaukee, but because Milwaukee is often a microcosm for the state of Wisconsin. As goes Milwaukee, so goes the state of Wisconsin. And Jeremy, the stories that we want to talk about today are no exception. Let's jump right into the lead problem in Milwaukee public schools. What is the problem? How is it discovered? And what is the current status, Jeremy?
Well, this is a great example of a microcosm story, because the reason it's a problem is because MPS has old buildings. But guess who else has old buildings? School districts across much of the state of Wisconsin. MPS's issues are, of course, heightened because of poverty. That is a problem that plagues Milwaukee, and it's something the whole state needs to work on. But MPS in particular, Milwaukee Public Schools, is struggling with lead in its schools. One, because it's actually getting recognized as a problem. I suspect it's a problem in schools where it's not being recognized. But two, because of bad practices, it appears, and we're looking at a case in Bayview on the south side of Milwaukee, Trowbridge School, that they had properly abated lead paint in the past. And the simplest way to properly abate lead paint, you just paint over
paint
the top
over
of
it.
Make sure it's sealed, and then don't have that paint be scratched. In a school with kids, that's sometimes tough. But in the case of a health department investigation for a child whose blood lead level wasn't going down, health department officials walked into Trowbridge School and they caught an employee essentially red-handed scraping the paint with no containment. So what was happening was places that were properly abated before were all of a sudden testing positive for lead dust because it was just being spread throughout the school.
Jeremy, it's a fairly shocking story because the only reason that we're hearing about this is through basically a series of random events that led to this being discovered, no pun intended, everyone. And that was a kid with high lead levels that was discovered because the city of Milwaukee has provided and encouraged parents, and they've got their health department out testing kids for lead levels in their blood because of the lead pipe concerns and other concerns with older structures in the city of Milwaukee having lead paint. The lead levels weren't going down in this young person's bloodstream, even though they had done abatement in the home. So then they looked to other sources, and there was just this happen. The child attended Trowbridge, happened to be that the health inspectors walked in as this school employee was effectively spreading lead particulate matter from this paint around the school. This has then led to a sort of domino effect of additional testing and very angry parents. Here's my question, Jeremy. Why isn't it the response of MPS and the City of Milwaukee Health Department to say, we are going to go check the lead levels in every MPS building over the age of X and triage that, starting with those that have our youngest kids, because we know that the younger you are, the most serious the impacts of lead. Why aren't they testing everywhere systematically? How are they approaching this? Is there some triage system?
So you're asking the question I immediately thought of is why? Okay, we know this is a problem in certain schools. Let's go to all the schools it applies to. And that's where the rubber hits the road, because it's a money issue, but there's also a practical science component to it. Now, I'll break both those down. One, it affects every building built before 1978. And in Milwaukee, that's not virtually all of them, but it's a lot of the 100-plus schools that are in the city. Again, looking across the state, that's probably the same thing. But then from just a practical matter, there actually is a surveillance system built into this, and it's the kids. Everyone under the age of 6 and under in Wisconsin gets a blood test every year when they go to their annual checkup, regardless if it's on your insurance or anything, it's paid for. And it happens, and you should be getting those those red flags. And that's what happened at Trowbridge. A kid went for his annual test, tested for a high level. The basic response to that is then to go to the home and to do an evaluation with the parents and guardians, figure out, okay, this kid at grandparents' house a lot. And they did abatement at the kid's home, and then it was not moving. The blood lead levels weren't coming down, as you said. So then the intervention went to, okay, let's go to the school. And the reason you wouldn't just, okay, well, if MPS is now in problems, I think it's at 4 schools, why wouldn't you just rush to test all of them? We hit on money, but also it's kind of a moving target. Trowbridge looks like it was probably in good shape until this employee violated their lead practices for the district and started scraping paint. There probably was no issue at Trowbridge until that point. The district also, and the health department, also tested a school at about 25th in Wisconsin, so on the near west side of the city, and they found, despite the school's age, no sources of lead contamination there. So there are schools where things are going right. The health department is expected to roll out a kind of guidance triage-like plan. What that looks like, we're expecting later this week or next week. But the big thing the district keeps saying, and we'll see what this means because we have a case of an employee violating it already, is they're really doubling down on their lead safe practices and making sure that training's in place.
Folks, you should be asking your school systems these same questions, but because again, old buildings for public schools is an issue across the state. I think, Jeremy, again, given what our natural questions were, one of the most important messages to parents everywhere is not only should you be asking your school systems, hey, what are your lead abatement policies? Do you have school facilities that were built prior to, what was it, 1976?
78.
Built prior to 1978. but make sure you are getting your kids these lead level tests every year as part of their physical, maybe even after the age of 6, if you can get coverage for it. If you're not sure, ask your local county or city or village health department for lead blood tests. And one of the things that I would also suggest is that if you have a positive lead blood test, get your kid retested if you can as well. Make sure you don't have a false positive. All of these little things. It seems to me, Jeremy, that what parents want, what every community would want, is what is the plan to address this and provide people with some peace of mind. We will certainly be watching the story with you as it progresses. If you're just tuning in, folks, we've got Jeremy Janney from Urban Milwaukee. He helped create that outlet, and he is one of the journalists there. He joins me every Wednesday at 2:30 for a segment we call Milwaukee as Microcosm, because oftentimes some of the things that go on in Milwaukee are things that you will see in your neighborhoods, in your areas of the state, maybe to varying degrees. But again, this is an example of something that is no doubt probably an issue statewide, but Milwaukee coming to the fore first and really certainly capturing some big headlines. Here is another story, Jeremy, that you pointed out to me that I am certain is going to have a pretty big regional impact if it goes as planned. The Milwaukee School of Engineering making an enormous investment in artificial intelligence and educating its students to be ready for these, basically this new AI era that we are entering. Tell us more about what's going on, Jeremy.
Milwaukee School of Engineering, based in downtown Milwaukee Private University, unveiled this week a $125 million Next Bold Step plan. The biggest part of that is a $76 million engineering building. And then the second largest piece of that is a new artificial intelligence school. And then the university is hoping to shore up some other programs, scholarship for students, things like that. But it's a huge bet on artificial intelligence, and it's being funded by one of the leaders in artificial intelligence. Dwight Dierks, who is a 1990 graduate of the school, is an employee number 22 at NVIDIA. And if you don't know what NVIDIA is, for a long time, if you're a computer gamer, you knew what NVIDIA was. Yes. They make the graphics cards to play the newest games. But now they make all the hardware and the base software that all these artificial intelligence applications are based on. So that company has done tremendously well. Dierks has done tremendously well. And he's now made his second $20 million plus donation to the school.
Yeah, MSOE has certainly garnered some big money donations from alumni as they have moved through their infancy and now into really expanding MSOE's footprint and really trying to make itself a tech and STEM hub here in this Midwestern region. It'll be very fascinating to see how that develops. I'm certain that that's going to drive a bunch of enrollment. If I had a do-over now and I was looking at colleges and universities and practice areas, certainly that would be an area that I would want to ensure that I am minimally conversant in. And if I could get through the coursework, maybe actually get a degree in. My goodness. Folks, you are tuned in to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is our segment called Milwaukee as a Microcosm. We got Jeremy Janine with me this afternoon. We got a couple more stories we want to cover with you. I'm going to tease this a little bit with you, Jeremy. The State of the City speech was it Tuesday morning? Monday morning. Days seem like weeks seem like years these days. The State of the City by Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson on Monday morning. Some issues surrounding housing have been going on, especially affordable housing in the city of Milwaukee. I want to see what the mayor had to say about the Housing Authority for the City of Milwaukee. Quite a controversial agency. What does it say about affordable housing in your area of Wisconsin? We'll discuss more with Jeremy when we come back after these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.